This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Let's roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side. You're so fly. She's so lit. We so high. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side. You're so fly. Yeah, she's so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me A.
Yo, 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 what up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week, man. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. And tonight, I'm going to do the same thing. But you know what I do, man, before I get into bringing my guest on and all that, because I do have a guest tonight. I always have to, you know, start my show off giving a shout out to all the people that download the audio version of this platform. I definitely appreciate y'all. Y'all are the real MVPs. It's one thing, like I say, every week, man, you know, when it comes down to this content thing, more people or most people, they be concerned about the visual part. You know what I'm saying? And because of that, you know, they get discouraged whenever things don't look a certain way. But when it comes down to the podcasting game, we know it's really about the audio. The audio is what's the most important part of the podcast game. We could do all the other stuff and we could get into, you know, how you can capitalize off of having a platform by being, you know, visual and audio as well. But we know for the most part, podcasting is really about the audio. So, for those of you out there that are interested in getting started, if you have a platform of your own and you want to get your audio version on Spotify, Amazon, all the places where people do podcasts, y'all know what to do. Click on the links in the description and, you know, you can get right to it, y'all, because I want to make sure that, you know, for those of you guys that are doing this, that you understand that even if your guests don't show up sometimes or even if you feel like, you know, it's not going the way you want it to, when it comes down to the views and all this other stuff with the engagement, just keep staying consistent, right? It's never such thing as they say, oh, it's too much of this and that. They say that about everything. They say that about rappers, and then look at what's going on now. Like, every other day is a rapper that come out. So they say that about everything. And look, it's stuff everywhere. So don't let them play y'all like that, yo, for real. Don't let them play y'all like that. But anyway, shout out to them. So all of the sponsors, double shout out to all the people that helped make it happen, that helped support the, you know, the platform or whatever. Give it up the Second Round. You guys, click the link in the description so you can get more information about Second Round. It does so much for your body, for your health, and everything else. You know what I'm saying? So make sure y'all check them out. I give a double shout out to Java Burn for all my coffee drinkers out there. You know what the vibe is, man. If you need a little extra boost in your coffee that's going to help you burn some calories at the same time, then you got to check out Java Burn. All right? Y'all know the vibe when it comes to that. If it's just all about, you know, how you feel and when it comes down to your health, we know that's so important right now with everything that's going on in the world. We have to take control of our health. We can't leave our health into the hands of the doctors as far as what we've been knowing, because so many doctors have been in on the things that's been harming us the most. So we got to definitely pay attention to our health. Shout out to Aroma Air for all the guys and girls out there that like to smell good and you don't like the alcohol versions of cologne and all that other stuff and perfume, then oil sprays is the one for you, and you got to check these cats out. The link is in the description as well. And I want y'all to know, man, their oil is made out of aloe. All right, so that's the base. It's made out of aloe. So if you guys have an allergic to aloe, then, you know, just chill. I'm just going to be the first to tell y'all. But if you understand aloe is good for you and good for your skin and all the other things, then bam, y'all know to highlight them, all right? Shower gels, lotions, and body washes, you know what I'm saying? Okay, back. So before I get to bringing my guest up, y'all already know I got to go on my Rob rant. Y'all know what I got to do. I got to talk to y'all about things that's going on in the week and so many other different things before I bring my guest up. And I want y'all to know, man, there's really no excuse out there for checking yourself and having multiple streams of income, right? It's no excuse, and I get it. Everybody feels like, you know, once they get the job that they want or in the position that they want, could be a career. Because it's a difference to me between a job and a career. But when they get there, that's it. They settle for that. They stick on that. And they let that egg be all the eggs and that be the basket, right? But then, you know, it's so many different people out here who do stupid stuff for money, right? Whether it comes to selling people's information. Because I talked to her about it last week. Everybody was so upset about Elon and what Doge is doing about him supposed to be having access to people's information when the guy used to own PayPal. I think he still do, or some portion of it. And for all the people who got PayPal, he got access to your information. We said that. But the thing that we don't pay attention to is the people that we don't know, that don't have a name, that don't have $1 billion that they have laying around like he do. We got several of them, right? But those are the people that do the stuff on the side for money. They be the ones that will sell your information. These scammers out here are not just, you know, becoming sophisticated on their own. They get information from people that they know they could get the information from. So let's put it, just think about that. While y'all running around here being mad at somebody who got more money than he need to shake a stick at, and y'all guys is upset about him having information, when the people that been working for the government before they even got in there to try to figure all this other stuff out, been robbing us, been selling our information, been doing everything else, and we ain't been saying nothing. We just been taking it because we just feel like we just got a little piece of something. Or whatever the case may be, or because we've been so distracted with everything else that we didn't even think about it. Like, how can we take control? Or what is our real true history of how things rolled around here? And we knew that this whole country used to survive without having the taxes taken from its citizens. If we know that there was a point in time, and it was for a long period of time, that they was able to do it without no income tax, but because of war and all these other things, the reason why they started taking money from their citizens, and from the fact that when we not in war and all these other things, we never get the government, or we don't make that an issue for the presidents and all these other people we voting for to change it back, if it's a thing coming in where we have to do that. But look at the military now. Look at how sophisticated it is. Look what happened in the last administration in the beginning of it. Look what Biden did when they had to get out of Afghanistan. Look at how much equipment they left. Billions of dollars of equipment. So if they left billions of dollars of equipment there, just imagine how much they got if they could leave that. So it's not really that they need the money from us anyway, and we don't even pay attention to that, right? Most of us live in a state that also takes a state income tax. Like, it's a privilege to work in the state. Like, no, it's like that's how the state survived, by the people who work and live and put and spend money in the state and in the community. You know what I'm saying? And they taking money from us, right? And But because we're so separated, because racism is an issue, and because, you know, politics is an issue, and because, you know, who hurt who and who did what is an issue, we got all these different things that separate us from, instead of us coming together, understanding what the real issues is and what the real problems is, and then all the people who are facing them things, yo. Everybody, it don't matter what color you are, if you facing the same circumstances as the person next door to you, and you know that it's not right, then that's what we should be all talking about. That's how we should be unified and coming together. We ain't gotta come to unify to go marching no place and do all this other dumb shit, right? What we gotta do is we gotta get smart. We gotta think logical. And the people who are asking for somebody to vote them in somewhere, then yo, we gotta step to them with the real situations that we want them to be in there for. Like, if you're not gonna stand on it, we getting y'all out.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
That's what midterm is about, right? But I wanted to say all that because out here in these streets, we got a lady. It was a lady who was just recently figured out, man. She was 102 years old. This lady had been selling pizzas out her basement. She'd been selling pizzas out her basement for mad long. They said it was been over 50 years. This lady has been in the neighborhood providing pizzas for people. So kind of think about that. Like, this lady been in her basement making pizzas for people in the neighborhood. That's how she been making her money. All the people that live in the neighborhood, no matter what time it is, they come through, they're going to get a pizza. Now, if you got a 102-year-old lady who still understands that, you know, what it's about, the independence that it takes, you know, for you to be an entrepreneur, then it's no excuse for nobody else out here. None of y'all should be mad at millionaires and all that other stuff. You should be mad that you think, you know, less than they do. You should be mad about that. And I know a lot of people don't think a certain way because of religion too. I understand that, you know, they religion I have you feeling like the only way you get into heaven is if you poor, or if you just barely making it and you're not a person that doesn't have to worry about check to check. And I don't get that either, because why would they say that in order for you to go to a place where they say it's nothing but riches there, streets paved in gold, diamonds and rubies everywhere? How is it that in the afterlife for us to be able to go to heaven, we can get these things, but while we're here, we're supposed to live beneath our means? That don't make sense. You know what I'm saying? Why have a physical experience if what we're going to really live out eternity is in our spirit? Then why are we here in the physical? What's the sense of us even having, you know, this physical journey that we go through and all these things that we go through in our flesh if all we're ended up to be is in our spirit? I don't know, but that's something to think about. And maybe that's something things that we don't have an answer for, because at the end of the day, for me personally, if I had to answer my own question, I would think that, yo, you know, because we're experiencing both. We're spiritual beings in a physical body, and we're experiencing both at the same time. And in that, I feel like mentally we have control over our situation. We have control over our thoughts, and we have control over our emotions. The one thing that we cannot do is allow other people to control our emotions. Because, like, look, we have the young boy, Carmelo Anthony, right? It's been in the news for the last week, right? Because, you know, a little man defended himself. And because of that, the person that he was defending himself against, you know, they were unalived. And, man, yo, it's crazy, because when it comes down to things that happen to people, we're not just humans, right? It's always based on the color. So now the battles between black and white. Oh, he killed the white guy, and now he can't get the same justice as the white guy. Kyle Rittenhouse, the one who got the gun from his mom, who intentionally went to a rally, not where he lived at, and shot people. And they said, oh, he was in fear of his life, but he had a gun. I never understand how people who have guns be in fear of their life. And he had a rifle. He didn't just have a gun. But they said he was in fear of his life, and they allowed him to go through this. Little man right here had witnesses that these guys was bullying him, and you know, he retaliated based on self-defense, and he's in jail right now. 14-year-old kid, I think, if I'm not mistaken. 14 or 15-year-old kid, he's in jail right now, and he's being held under a $1 million bond. So because these things happen, we automatically have to resort to the fact that, you know, racism still exists, no matter how much they try to say that it don't. But then it also goes back to the fact of what we keep talking about for everybody that's screaming and hollering, like, yo, we don't have a lot of things that we need because all we do is spend, right? As a group of people, we just spenders. We're not the investors. We're not the controllers of industry, but we the ones that supply all the industry. We the ones that make the industries fly. They don't even do commercials without using hip hop right now. And for anything, it could be sheets, linen, whatever. They using hip hop for it. And all of these other different things. And all we looking to do is to try to make people look at us and make it seem like we have wealth. Our wealth is in material things. Our wealth is not in ownership. So now when we got people in these positions, we can't get these laws changed. You got to know, some of these states are going by the law in these states. And yes, some of them laws that's in these states is dumb old and they racist. But until we come together and get outside of our heads and stop being distracted by racism, by, you know, all these other things that they got going on, who doing what, this person and all that other stuff, what celebrities are doing and all this other corny shit, until we could get that out our way, right, then we could pay attention to the real issue. That's why they keep sliding things in, because we keep not paying attention to the real scenario. Y'all mad about tariffs. Listen, the tariffs are about the things that we do every day. Beef, pork, chicken, silver, gold, lumber, all the things that we should be paying attention to. If that's the case, then now everybody eyes should be open at the commodities that travel in and out of different countries. Why not? Because what makes up the market? The makes up the market is the small amount of people who invest in the market. People upset about the stock market crashing or whatever, had a pretty good day today, but just what's been going on since the announcement of the tariffs, and people who don't even have stocks, they're not even invested in it. You know, it's only 8% of the population that even owns stocks in the United States. All the people that's upset don't even own stock. They don't even invest in the companies that they spend money in. So listen, y'all, my thing is this. You got a couple of choices out here in this world, and the ones that you can control are the choices that you need to make sure you can choose, and then the ones you can't, let God. Because right now, everybody's not going to live on another person's thoughts all the time and their emotions and how they feel and what makes it negative. Because right now we got so much of that. We got people who got all this negative intuition, but their intuition don't kick in when they fail in things, or when they know people are not happy, or when they're not pulling their weight. It don't click in then when they need to be bigger than what they are. It only clicks in when it's time for negative. So we got to avoid these things, y'all. We got to do as much as we can to avoid the negative. And by any means, protect your peace. By any means, protect your peace. But what we can't do is not think out here, all right? So it's a lot more I could get into, but I can't because I do have a guest. So I'm about to bring my guy up, man. We got Brother David coming on, man, and we're gonna have a great conversation tonight, man. So let me see what's going on with him. Yo, what's good, brother? I think your mic is me. There you go. What's going on, bro?
Chilling. What's good, Ra?
Ain't nothing, man. I'm definitely glad that you're here, man. I appreciate you coming on the platform this evening, bro.
Appreciate you having me, man. I'm ready to spark conversation.
All right, I can dig that, yo. So listen, let's do that, man. But do me a favor. I want you to introduce yourself to the audience and let them know why you're on the platform this evening.
Cool. So, you know, my name is David Calvin Cephas. I'm a social worker, and, you know, I'm just a black man out here trying to make it. You know, I wanted the opportunity to come on here and have real talk conversation, because, like, after all, we have to be visible as Black men. We have to be able to raise our voices as Black men. And, you know, I just appreciate the opportunity to be able to chat with you and, like, you know, reach the masses however they need to be reached.
Facts. I appreciate that, man, for real, because that's what we need to do, man. We need to be able to have more dialogue between each other, man, especially as men of color, right? We need to be able to have more dialogue between each other to try to get to, you know, trying to figure things out the best way that we can, because for the next generation that comes, that's coming behind us, they will be facing a whole lot of different things if we, as the people before them, don't understand how to build communication, right?
Yeah.
In all things, we got to be able to build communication. So look, my audience, I want y'all to know the comments are wide open tonight. So at any given point, you guys want to chime in on the conversation tonight, you definitely can. All right. We want to make sure that y'all do that. Shout out to my boy Jay Cook, too, man, for checking in already, y'all. Word up. All right, brother. So listen, introduce yourself to the people. And let's you already did that. But let's talk about your background in education, right? Because if I'm not mistaken, that's your thing, right? You're into, you know, the educational piece. So let's talk about your background. What made you get started in this field?
Yeah, so, like, it really stemmed from social work. So, like, you know, I'm a social worker by trade, right? And so okay. I'm a licensed master social worker. And, you know, recently, I guess I kind of fell back into education. So, like, you know, a little bit about myself is that, you know, I'm a high school dropout. Like, you know, I don't make no, you know, qualms about it. It's not something that I hide. Like, you know, I'm very open about it. I dropped out of high school when I was in the 10th grade and I was 18. All right. And so, like, you know, grew up in Brooklyn, you know, had my parents. But like, you know, I was a knucklehead and like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And like, you know, I guess too, like, you know, I wasn't really sure of myself. Like, you know, growing up as like, you know, a young Black man, you really don't know, like, you know, what you're capable of, what you can do. And, right. You know, because of that, you kind of fall into a whole bunch of different things. So, became a social worker, you know, got my GED, went to college, like, you know, found out that, like, I really have a knack for relating with people. And, like, I always wanted to understand people. And so it was really what happened down in Florida with the Trayvon Martin case, with the Michael Brown case, that really like propelled me into a place of like, yo, I need to help and I need to help us. Like I need [S2] Right. [S1] To help people that look like us. I love all people, but we need help and we need to be able to help each other, like, you know, get to like a certain spot. So like, you know, I went into education by way of working at a different alternative learning programs. So I work with like [S2] Mm-hmm. [S1] At-risk youth. So these are youth that, you know, kind of like, left high school, but they are over age, under-accredited. Right. So, like, you know, they went into, like, it's like YBC programs. It's like transfer schools. All that kind of fall into the same kind of realm. From there, I went into foster care. So, like, you know, working with a whole bunch of, you know, students and really families that are, like, you know, part of the health, the foster care population, in which, like, right. You know, again, like, you know, it was detrimental for me to kind of like see like how people are just really falling in the cracks and really like, you know, really right. Just falling into the gaps. And so like, you know, I went there and then it really dawned on me that like, you know, the thing that I've been kind of like running from, like, you know, all my life, education right. is what's going to be able to kind of help us get into a place where we are thinking bigger, where we are having critical thoughts, where we are kind of cultivating a mindset for success. Right. So, like, you know, I went into the DOE. I'm currently a dean of school culture and student affairs. Right. And on the side of that, like, you know, a social work, whereas, like, you know, I get to counsel teens, I get to counsel, like, you know, staff, just all around, you know, being able to kind of like understand from a different perspective of how to kind of like, you know, reach a person, reach youth, and right. Like, you know, be able to kind of like, you know, build that dialogue.
Right. Right. Which is important because, you know, the social work piece, right. Because of, the way our community's mental health is set up, right. Everything is so trauma based.
Right.
You know, we grow up and to be honest with you, a lot of ways that people are able to relate to other people is through the recognition of the trauma, right? Mm-hmm. That people go through, because like with you being from Brooklyn, I'm sure it's so much that you've seen and things that will affect you forever. And noticing that other people who are affected by it, who can't really help it. I mean, for me, it puts me in a place of empathy for people. Like I literally feel for them. Like even if it's embarrassment, or even if it's like, damn, you know, me when I see something that, you know, it's not necessarily something that I can help with, but that I'm noticing that another person is going through.
Yeah.
So let me ask you about this though, bro, because I know mental health is a big part of it. When it comes down to the piece of social work, from what aspect did you work in social work? Did you work with families? Did you work with, or certain families from abuse, or was it alcohol, you know, in that particular thing? Because I have people in my family who work in social work and they do it at a different space. So at what, where's your level of what you do when it comes down to social work?
So I work with a lot of different populations and a lot of demographics. So I worked with children from the ages of like 2 to about, I don't know, 18, 19, 20, right? Wow. So that's that youth aspect. I work with families, big families, small families, right? And like, you know, really being able to kind of cultivate dialogue between like mother, father, father, son, mother, daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I work with like the genitology platform, whereas like, you know, these are like, you know, older people, senior citizens, to figure out their needs and what they need, and like, you know, they have a lot of unresolved trauma as well. But really it's not that like, you know, you have to have a trauma background in order to kind of like talk to like somebody like me. I like to think that like, you know, talking with me, it's like, you know, going on like a journey that you don't got to go on by yourself. So like, you know, things that may come about from the conversation, we'll be able to figure it out together and kind of like, you know, walk that path together. And like, you know, I'm only as helpful as a person allows me to be. So I don't really kind of like limit to myself to like, you know, oh, I'm this type of social worker. I'm more so like, I want to be a social worker, a life coach, a mentor, a friend for everybody, to be able to make sure that they're showing up as their best self. Because at the end of the day, that's all we all want anyway.
I mean, yeah, that's a fact, bro. I think it's important work that you're doing, because very seldom do you have people who want to do for others, like be in service to others, because you know, in the profession that you're in, I'm sure it's a lot of things that might get poured into you based on what other people are going through, right? Because one of the things about being a social worker is you have to be a good listener. You have to be somebody who's open to listen without judgment, right? Because you have to try to talk a person through some shit that you probably ain't have to go through yourself. But you gotta allow what I like to call your consciousness, your spirit, or whatever, to kind of guide you. Because my personal belief, that's just the way I feel. I don't not anybody else's belief, but I believe that we have certain ancestors and stuff that cling to us personally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Throughout our lineage, and I think a lot of them bring certain wisdom to us that come to us, even if it's things that we don't necessarily have that experience about, right? But it comes to us in a moment that we can help that person. But you know, that leads me to my next question to you, is that so in this journey, how have you been able to deal with your own personal mental health in order to be there for somebody else? Because listen, we know from experience what it's like to empty a cup or to have your cup empty, but very seldom do the places that you empty your cup at refill you back up. So how have you been able to deal with your own personal traumas and stuff in order to be a service to others?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Wara. So, you know, first of all, men don't like to talk, right? And like, men don't like to have a moment where like they feel revealed, vulnerable, right? They don't want nobody to see them kind of like, you know, in a messed up spot.
Right.
My perception of myself has always been that I have to be able to look myself in the mirror. And so if I can't see myself, right, in the work that I do, in the words that I say to myself, if in the decisions that I make, then I'm not healing. I'm not going to be able to help anybody else heal because I'm sitting there telling them things that I'm not doing. So I tend to practice what I preach. You know, like I said, like, you know, growing up in Brooklyn, like, you know, Brooklyn is Brooklyn. Right. And so, like, you know, you liable to get into like a whole bunch of like, you know, different, you know, stuff. And so, you know, I've been suicidal. I've been homicidal. I like, you know, I have like the mindset of like, you know, I'm going to go out there. And I'm going to do something like, you know, wrong. Like, you know, just cause right. Hurt people. But like, you know, really I've journaled. Right. And right. So like, you know, that's one of the ways I kind of keep myself, I say regular, by journaling, by being able to express myself in my words, while also being able to, you know, again, like, you know, understand, like, you know, why I'm here. What is my existence all about? Like, what is the magnitude that I kind of mean to like myself, my wife, my kids, my family? Like, you know, so that also helps me stay grounded and stay, right. You know, kind of visible to myself. Because like, you know, you can't do this work and like have like a whole bunch of baggage. You can't do this work and like, you know, not be able to kind of like, you know, walk it like you talk it. So like, right. You know, I tend to take Sundays as like a self-reflection day for myself. Whereas like, you know, I tend not to answer the phone. I tend not to kind of like talk to somebody because like, you know, I want to be in like reflection of like, okay, this is where I'm feeling. This is where I'm at. What do I need to kind of like, you know, do this week? What mindset do I need? Where I need to be at in order to make sure that I stay there and like, you know, proceed as normal. If you don't have check-ins with yourself, right? Like, you know, it just makes it that much harder because like, you know, anything that's buried always takes root and then always breaks through sooner or later through the soil. And then you will see the fruits of whatever that is, whether that's something good or whether that's something bad. With men, it tends to be something bad. Whereas like, you know, men could kind of like, you know, do things like go ballistic one day. Right. And it's like, oh, yo, like what happened? Like, nobody's seen any signs. But meanwhile, months ago, something done happened that he ain't take care of. And so now here he is in a situation. So like, you know, I try not to let it get like that for me. And like, you know, I say it's not something that's like, you know, that I'm saying like it's perfect. But like, you know, you gotta give yourself space to be able to you know, do that work on a consistent basis.
And yo, you said a lot of good points here. A few of them was this, like having an outlet. When you are a person that's not completely healed from the things that you've gone through or been through, you need an outlet. An outlet that doesn't require you to escape reality, though.
Right.
You know, so many people, in order to deal with things, they turn to, you know, drugs, alcohol, and other things just to keep them in a particular situation. But journaling, which is a form of writing, and all these other things that you can do to express yourself, like to get it out of you. Because the ultimate goal is to get it out of you. Most people want to get the things that's inside of them out of them with no judgment.
Right.
But it's because they want somebody to kind of, you know what I mean? Like, it's an energy thing, because that's what we are. That's why I said in the beginning, we're spiritual and physical at the same time. We're not one, right? And in our spirit is the one place that we don't take as much time to hone in on. You know, we'll do all the things with the outside. There's so many people that's so caught up in how they look and what they smell like, what they drive, where they live, and all these other things they think is more important where they go, but they don't take the same amount of, you know, energy to work on them, but on their inside, because we have all been raised to feel like the way that our insides work got to come from something outside of us.
Right.
It has to come from God. It has to come from Jesus. It has to come from whoever in order for our insides to be worked on versus it being the opposite way. Like the way that we want to live sometimes is a way that we can't always control. So it's like you said, finding an outlet to get the things that's inside of them out of them. If you don't like the write, maybe you could be a person that does voice notes. Mm-hmm. Right. And you keep these voice notes for yourself. And then when you go through them, and this is just me because I'm a writer. Right. And I've been in that space for a long time. But doing content creation has allowed me to express myself in a whole nother way in order to find my own peace when I'm battling with things mentally. Yeah. Right. But I noticed that for a lot of people, they use God as the main anchor for how they're able to deal with their emotions or deal with the things that's going on inside of them. But they do that not thinking that it's a negative, you know, opposite to whatever you're feeling like that God is supposed to do to you, that there's a negative force that wants you to feel down, that wants you to feel like something's wrong, that want you to think that you're not good enough, that want you to think the people around you are doing certain things to you. They want you to feel that way, right? Yeah. Because they want your life. They want your soul. They're jealous of the fact that you get to walk on this earth. And a lot of people don't take that into consideration whenever things are going on in their life, that they allow their mind to take over. Yeah. So you are right about that. Having to find the outlet to get the things inside of you out of you, right? Is important for most people, no matter what your age is, no matter how much. Because look, let's be real. We got a generation of people that's growing up right now that can't read or write.
That's right.
Right, but they graduated high school though. They got a diploma.
Yep.
But they can't read and they can't write.
Yeah.
Right. And then some people have so much anger bottled up in them that the only way they can express it is through action. And then they take it out on other people. They react certain ways to so much stuff that go on out here only because they didn't figure out a way that I could get this up out of me. Right. I need to be able to say this. Some things are so embarrassing for them to say and have to tell somebody else. But they don't understand that, you know, how good it would be to give it out to the universe and let it just handle it from that perspective, too. Getting it out is getting it out.
Yeah, but then some people don't even know how to even say the stuff. So when we see people acting out, that's really also expression in the communication as well.
Right.
Because they don't know different than let me put this into words. So now it comes out in action. Right. Action. Normally what happens is that, like, you know, when we get upset, and I'm going back to men, when we get upset, right, and we don't know the words to say, we blow up, we start cursing and right? Then we go to the bottle, we go to the weed, we go to the good time, right? Because we don't want to think about it. But really, what are we saying in our actions? We're tired, we're frustrated. We feel like we're not being respected, we're not being heard, right? And so, like, you know, I have something on the inside that needs to be healed, but then, like, you know, I'm not even touching that. I'm not even scratching that surface because I don't have the language, right? And nobody taught me the language. Nobody taught me how to look in and to bring that out. Right. Like, you know, even with that, like, you know, we're in a place where, like, you know, it's getting worse because now I'm a dad. I didn't learn that as when I was a kid. Then I have kids, right? And then, like, you know, I'm frustrated with them. I don't know how to kind of, like, tell them, like, you know, hey, cut it out, right? And so now I'm going to parent them the way that I was parented. And then they're just going to grow up and be like me, or they're going to be a little bit worse. And then the cycle continues.
Right. Because most of us don't grow up being parented. We grew up being watched.
Right.
And tolerated.
Right.
Right. Because
we're disciplined.
Right. But a lot of the discipline, well, for me, I feel like I didn't get disciplined a lot, but when I did, it made me recognize the choices that I make to not have to get disciplined that way. Right. Because when people love you, they're going to show you, because the people in the streets are going to do worse to you. Right. Because like we got the situation with the Carmelo Anthony kids. He got pushed and he stabbed somebody. So it ain't like he just pushed the guy back. You know what I mean? So that's the type of consequences that we have to face out here in this world whenever we can't control our emotions. Right.
Right.
Because that's the one thing about men. The thing about men having emotional intelligence comes with a sense of being able to accept when you're wrong.
Right.
Right? That's part of it. Because whenever you're able to accept when you're wrong and you're able to apologize for that wrong that you did, it allows you to be able to balance yourself out for the things that you do right. Because we're going to find out in life that people are going to bring up what we do wrong way more than what we do right. Because them, the way that they feel when something is wrong, it's a stronger feeling than when things are right. Right. I remember this saying when it was growing up, when, you know, I would hear other kids say things like in school, they'd be like, yeah, I got straight A's. So my mom and them, they did this for me. They, you know, my dad and they did this for me. And then I remember growing up in a household when you say, yo, look at my report card. My report card was good. It was like, yeah, so what I'm going to get? It was like, nah, you don't get nothing for doing good. You're supposed to do good.
Yeah.
Then you gotta grow up with that mentality of the fact that it's gonna be people around you who are going to get, you know, when they do things good, they're gonna have people that's gonna recognize it for them and let them know, so it can encourage them to keep going. Then you got those who, like I said, they're gonna tell you, "Law, look, I'm not gonna give you credit for doing good. You're supposed to do good, but whenever you do something bad or whenever you do something wrong, they got all the energy for that. And then what goes, the good things outweigh the bad all the time in those situations.
Yep.
But then that's the thing that I'm talking about. So in the event that we as men have to learn emotional intelligence, and that goes for women too, but as far as men, because me and you having this conversation, you know, having emotional intelligence is part of being able to accept when you're wrong. Sometimes you're going to do things that's going to make another person feel bad, even if you're not wrong. But you're still going to make a person feel a certain way because they don't agree with the decision that you make.
Right.
We deal with that all the time as men. Think about it. Most men take chances when it comes to business or entrepreneurship. But when you jump out there, it don't always work fast.
Right.
But then you may have another person that's next to you that is just barely supporting you because they figure that it's supposed to happen overnight. And when it don't, then they lose patience with you and how you feel about what you're going to do.
Right.
So you got to be a person inside of you that says, well, look, I got to fill my own cup up. And that's why I think when people talk to you or guys like you who are out here who can at least give people that information, because you're right. There's nobody, when you're growing up in it, there's nobody telling us that, hey, do you know that this is something that you can do? Do you know that this is something that you do? Do you know that I was a certain place and now I'm here because I took like a mentor? I mean, you're a social worker, but let's be real. Like, what's the definition of a mentor? Right? You said something about a life coach. What's the definition of a mentor?
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, what, like you got to be a person that understands about how to get things out of you and how to be able to accept the things when you're wrong. Because you're not going to get the praise when you're right. But when you're wrong, you got to be able to admit it and be like, yo, I was wrong. I apologize.
Right.
And that's the hardest part for me.
Right. And do it in a way of you doing it because you want to be better, not because you're doing it for somebody else. Like validation. We chase a lot of validation, right? We have to be in a place where it's important to be seen. That's true. But like, it gets to a point too where you need to be self-reliant, where you have to be like, you know, 10 toes down for yourself and say like, nah, I'm not doing this, or I'm doing this because this is what is, I'm feeling like the best way to kind of like, you know, show myself to like the world, like how I want to be seen. Like this is what I want to be seen as.
Exactly.
And you know, again, it goes back to emotional intelligence, and like, you know, it's not something that we learn in, You know, we're not teaching that in like an active way of like, listen, you can have an argument, and then like when you were even in the argument, how do you fight fair? Right. How does it not turn into, and like, nah, you disrespecting me, so now I got to put my hands on you.
Right.
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 How it turns into like, you know, it doesn't escalate now where like my life is in danger because like we was both going back and forth with like your mama jokes, and like I said a doozy, and like you got real upset, and so now like, you know, you got to go get your mans to go ahead and jump me now. Right,
right.
So like,
right.
It's that too. Like being able to fight fair, to not be on some like, and like, you know, I was out there too, but like, you know, I wasn't as bad as him. So because I wasn't as bad as him, like, you know, I should get like, you know, the green light to do like whatever. Right. Like the male ego can be like very fragile.
Right. That's a fact.
I was just talking to like one of my students, and like, you know, he says something like, listen, like, you know, do owe me some money, and like, you know, I don't know whether or not like, you know, I should go put my hands on him, or I should like, you know, like tell him something, but like he owes me money, and like, you know, I can't have anybody playing in my face like that. Right. And I said, Let's walk it out. Let's talk it out. So now, if you go over there and you put your hands on him, he gonna put his hands on you. It's gonna turn into a bigger situation, whereas he can now get other people to put their hands on you, right? And now y'all both gonna either get suspended, it's gonna escalate, somebody gonna get arrested, somebody gonna get hurt, whatever. That's one road. The other road is that, like, you know, say you don't do nothing. Say you don't do nothing. What would that mean? What would that mean?
Right.
Okay. He got away with the money. Like, you know, you lost the money. But at least, like, you know, you got your life, right? At least, like, you know, he's in a place where he ain't gonna mess with you no more because he owe you money. Right?
You pay to get people out your life, yeah.
Right, right. And so, like, you know. Think about like which way you want to go. Like, you know, I ain't telling him what to do because I wanted him to think. Cause he has to think, right? And you have to think about the I tell all my students, and I tell people regardless. I said, you always want to make the decision that has the least negative consequences. The least negative consequences. Because at the end of the day, every choice has an action, right? Every choice has an action. What are you prepared to live with?
That's
what it really comes down to.
That's the number one thing. And that's why I say, you know, whenever we get to a place of knowing that, you know, like you said, the male ego is fragile. We understand that too. A lot of it has to do with the men that we were raised around as well.
That's right.
Right, because when they show strength in certain areas, we inhabit strength in certain areas. And as men, that's the one thing about it. It's a tough space to be because you have to let your no be your no. And that's where you fall victim to the way other people perceive you sometimes. And that's why, you know, having emotional intelligence is also knowing who you are. Right? You got to be able to know who you are and be able to stand on that, because people around you are not going to agree with your decisions all the time, and they're going to try to make you feel some type of way because you don't agree with them. Let's take what's going on out there in the world right now. Because of Democrats don't agree with the Republicans, they're burning cars. Mm-hmm. They're vandalizing things. They're doing all these other things just because they don't agree with somebody, versus them saying, yo, I don't agree with you, but yo, I'm going to have to let you do what you do because you're the person that's in the space. You're the person that's in charge. You're the person that's elected to be the leader. And a lot of relationships, you know, a lot of people get mad at people. I know this for me. Let me just say this in my life. People don't get mad at me for what I do to them is what I don't do for them.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Right. So whenever that happens, that's when you have to resort back to who you are as a person. Like, no, I mean, I told you this, or I've said this, or I'm I've allowed you to try to get to know me as much as I'm getting to know you in this time that we have. I'm taking the time to get to know you. Another thing is that people think maybe because they have a certain amount of time with you that they already know you. And every one of us, man, we're still growing and we're still learning ourselves. How can another person outside of us feel like they know us better than us?
Yeah,
right.
Well, so we got, they can have the access to you because they know
to you. Tell you, yep, and the access to you to tell to try to get you to think like them,
right,
because you know so many people have this self-righteousness about themselves that what they do is right. And in so many instances, right? And then you got those people who do things a certain way they've been doing, and it's not wrong. But compromise is another thing as part of emotional intelligence too, right? Because that's why I know earlier you was like, yo, sometimes, you know, you can't apologize for other people. And then, you know, I'm guilty of that. Sometimes I do. Now, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm apologize. But then sometimes I do apologize to people about the way that something may have made them feel. Although I'm explaining to him, like, yo, this ain't my intentions. This is not what I'm trying to do. I apologize for the fact that it made you feel this way. Yeah. But this is who I am. And I hate that, you know, I made this decision for me. You know what I mean? I hate that it bothered you in this way. Yeah. But this wasn't personal towards you. And having to be able to be a person that can say that. Because arguments, like you said earlier, most arguments escalate because of the way people feel when it comes to their ego. And that's male and female. Yeah. And when it comes down to ego, that's not a gender thing.
No.
Right? Because let's face it. A lot of women, you know, they're able to get validation on social media and everything else.
Right?
Through pictures and all these other things. They get hundreds, if not thousands, of comments, this, that, and the third. People always trying to highlight all these different things that go on with them. So for them, they feel like that's their value. That's what makes them more important. So that gives them the ego of thinking that, oh, these people want me out here. So if you ain't or whatever, you know, it comes into that space. But then you as a man, you got to be humble enough to say to yourself, okay, but you know, it works. It works that way for men as well, too. We just got to be emotionally intelligent enough to understand that sometimes, you know, just apologizing for the way that a person may feel when it's not your intention is not the end all be all. It won't make you feel like a sucker. It doesn't make you feel weak or like you're not who you are because, you know, you find a way to be diplomatic versus finding a way to try to be right.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right. And I think, like, you know, the way our mentality is set up is that, like, you know, somebody always has to take a loss. And that's just not life.
Right.
It's life. Right. Life is not, like, you know, dictated based on, like, you know, wins and losses. Like, right. You know, because it's just like in business. Right. Like you're like, you know, hear all these stories about, like, you know, these success stories, like how they started a business, but the business didn't work. Right. Until like that one business hit. Right.
Right.
And now, like, you know, it seems like what it looks like is that, like, oh, that person has always been successful. But nah, that they haven't. They
just kept trying.
Struggled. Right. Like, you know, the light bulb. What Thomas Jefferson said, it took him, like, you know, 99 tries to find out how not to make a light bulb. Mm-hmm. All he needed was one. Right. And so, like, if we adopt that mentality, whereas, like, you know, hey, I'm just trying to be better and I'm trying to be a better me for me. Like, you know, I feel like the world would be like a better place. We place too much value on, like, what everybody else thinks about us, what everybody else says about us. And so that's how we live our lives. Like, you know, look at Facebook, look at Instagram, TikTok and all that other kind of stuff. I remember somebody said, like, if I don't get like 100 likes in like the next minute, I'm taking the whole feed down. Well, like, why are we doing that? You still have something to say. You still have something you wanted to do. So now it's not valuable because other people are not seeing the value in it.
Right. And then some people do see the value. They just don't want to let you know. And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to perception. Sometimes, you know, people get perceived by thinking that people are not watching. People are watching you
all the time,
right? Whenever you think that it's not, all it takes is that one right person to see what they and to know what you got going on, and then it'll change your life. But consistency will keep you out there, because everybody don't do the same thing every day.
That's right.
But when they do, if you're there no matter what, because you're consistent, then you have no, you know, it's no doubt that you will get to where you're going to go. And you're right. You know, other people's perception of us is a really big deal, because in most of us, we grew up in situations where we might have been told that we wasn't certain things growing up,
yeah.
Like, you know, as part of discipline. Right. People will tell you, you know, you sit your stupid self, you know, sit your stupid ass down, get your dumb ass over in the corner. Oh, you ain't know this. Or, you know, the pressure when somebody asks you a question and you know you might know the answer, but you don't know if you're going to be wrong because they don't want you to be wrong. Like, parenting, for most people, wasn't a situation where they felt like they were free to make mistakes.
That's right.
Right. So that's why you got a lot of people who don't try, who don't understand the entrepreneur when he is investing in multiple businesses, because they think that, you know, well, why are you doing this and you doing that? Why are you doing this? Because they don't understand that all it takes is one thing to pop, to change your life.
That's it.
The only way I'm going to get to it is to be persistent. Now, let's think about everything else in life, bro. To me, the success in anything you want is going to take consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for the most part, well, in your field, when you're dealing with people who are in the trauma, right? Because most of the time people are doing social work, people are in the trauma at the moment. It's not a place of, I'm not going through it no more, but I'm still being bothered. Most of the time it's in it. You know, if you said like you people from 2 to 18, they're in the trauma.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for them to see their way outside of it whenever they're in it. Right. So I commend you, bro. I want you to know you're doing amazing work out here, man. I don't know if you get your flowers enough like that. I don't know how that goes. But the fact that you're willing to give yourself to other people in the space that they come from when it comes from trauma is amazing, because, you know, you have to be a really empathetic brother. And to be honest with you, you got your purpose in that way. However, you had to discover your purpose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that was for me being a late bloomer, man, and understanding, like, so I did this exercise, and it's something that I tell all people that I work with to do, because, like, you know, I was a person that, you know, I ain't know who I was, I ain't know what I meant, I ain't know my value, like, to myself, and, you know, I just didn't know, I was lost. Mentally, right. I was lost, right? And so, like, physically, it looked like, you know, unkept. I ain't take care of myself, none of that. I came across, I thought about this exercise. And so, like I said, I'm a writer, I write. And so I thought, when it's all over, and you're at the funeral, you're not at the funeral, right? But, like, when you at the funeral, you laying there in the casket and all that kind of stuff, yeah. What is your eulogy going to say?
Sheesh.
What is your eulogy going to say? Right? And so when I meet somebody who don't know who they are and they on the path, or they need to be on the path of discovery, I tell them to write their eulogy. Because... Mm. You need to know what you would say about yourself. And so when you come up with, like, a small paragraph like this, I turn it back around and I say, this is you. That's it. Right? So you was put here, you was born. Like, you know, you was a single cell organism. You was a single cell organism.
That blossomed into.
Right. But before then, you had to sprint. It was a mad dash in order to find the egg, right? To find the egg out of millions of other brothers and sisters. So let's just put it like that. Other brothers and sisters. You found your way to the egg. You found it. You swam the fastest. But then when you got there, you had to bite and eat your way through to get inside. Now, okay, maybe you didn't think to do this, right? But this was your ability. We don't think to breathe, but it doesn't mean that we don't know how to breathe.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And so we have to remember, I think, what we're made of. We have to also give ourselves credit for the things that we have like come from. Right. And also understand where we can go. So like if your eulogy or obituary is like this small, like you got some work to do.
Mm. For what people are going to say. And you know what I was going to say? Because then that's when perception comes in. Because most of the time, eulogies are wrote or, I guess, you know, co-wrote, ghostwritten by people, the person closest to you that is handling everything for you. And right. Sometimes it's based on... Yeah, and it's based on their perception of you.
Right.
So, yeah. Because you got to think about it, man. I never thought about that. I mean, I know a lot of people don't really like to talk about that part of life or, you know, signaling what death would be, because you would want to leave a legacy that people can appreciate going forward. But because we don't come from legacy. Well, we do. Let me not say that. We just had a gap in between, 200 and something years in between of disconnection of our legacy. Right. And so a lot of us don't know exactly what we come from. And you said that earlier, too. What you was going to say?
And beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Right. So my legacy doesn't have to look like your legacy.
Facts. Facts.
I don't need to be rich.
Facts.
That's not my bag. Right. I need to make sure that the seeds that I'm planting in my kids.
Right.
Take root so that way they can go ahead and finish the next leg of the race. It's a relay race. It's a relay race. I'm not supposed to do everything. I'm supposed to set them up so they can do some stuff too. And then so on and so forth. That's how you keep a legacy. That's how you keep your name constant. That's how you live on, by investing into the next generation. So you take that concept. And then you pour that into everybody else that's coming after you. That's a good life.
Yeah, you're right, bro. That's why I think for me, I like to, you know, get us in spaces where we could think about the balance of both. The only reason why I say financial freedom is really important, not in the sense of whether you want to be rich or not, you know, because in so many aspects, we are already rich.
That's right.
But when it comes down to, you know, freedom, you know, that's where we're not, right? We're in the illusion of it. And sometimes, you know, our freedom, right, is not coming from a place that we're actually free. It's coming from the thought of, because of what somebody says that we're not doing no more because of what we looked like when we was enslaved. Right. But because we don't see the same visual as not being enslaved, you know, we feel like we're free. And I think that's where I, you know, get the urge to keep thinking about my generation past this. Right. Because I was talking about this the other day, you know, for most of us who come from the descendants of people who used to work for free and the commodities that we used to have to work for free, it seems like we will be the owners of those industries. But because people have made us feel bad about the things, because it's like the mindset, right, of Mr. Miyagi. I call it the Mr. Miyagi mindset. When he had Daniel's son doing the wax on, wax off, Daniel's son think he was just there to come to clean a gate. Right. He think he was just there to mop a floor. But then once he told him that, yo, do the same things without the, you know, without you know, the cleaning supplies, and he learned that he was able to defend himself.
Right.
Because he wasn't looking at it from the perspective of the teacher. So that's where the mentor come in at, because the mindset has to be, you know, come from the teacher sometimes to be able to enlighten you on the things that we're going through. A lot of us are meant to set up the people who come from that come behind us. Yeah. You know, we're not meant to always just exist.
Yeah.
But there's very few people who understand that part. They just existing out here, bro.
Yeah.
So look, this is what we want to do, man, because I want to make sure that people, if they want to get in contact with you, or if people want to, you know what I'm saying, maybe feel like, because of your spirit or whatever, they might could pick that up through the conversation tonight, that you might be a brother that can, you know, help talk them through some things. I know you didn't say that you was a therapist and none of that. You made it clear, you know, you do social work. But you do the work. Social workers are active. Social workers are not just a bunch of people that do a bunch of talking. They're actually active and they're in the mix. And a lot of times they're face to face with what the people are dealing with. So, you know, tell the people, man, how can they get in contact with you, bro? And how can they do more and support what you got going on?
So, like, you know, at the base of me, at my core, I'm a social worker, right? But, like, you know, I've been called other names, like life coach, mentor, you know, certainly therapist and all that other kind of stuff as well. But, like, you know, I want to make clear that, like, you know, I'm a black man in social work. I wear that as a badge of honor. Because, like, you know, I'm a unicorn and, like, you know, it's not many of us out here doing it. So, like, you know, I have two organizations that, like, you know, I'm very proud of. I founded both of them. One is M Coaching M, which stands for it stands for mentoring, coaching, and mindset. And, you know, basically it was birthed out of the pandemic where people weren't able to kind of reach each other, get the, you know, touch each other and be able to talk to one another. So that's my life coaching business that I have. I offer mentorship through that, offer individual life coaching to like adults, as well as like, you know, mastermind classes around like certain topics. You know, I don't know if you can see my little background that I made, the website is there. I also am very proud of SchoolWorks, which is an alternative learning program that I founded for youth in care. Well, young men who were formerly or currently in care, in foster care system, as well as juvenile justice. And so, like, you know, what we're trying to do is, like, you know, make sure that success is contagious amongst all men of color. That's what we're trying to do. That's a nonprofit. And, like, you know, if you want to sow seed, pour into that, or, like, you know, connect with us, you could definitely do that. It's SchoolWorks, like, you know, .org. It's spelled a little different, like, you know, to be able to kind of, like, you know, bridge the gap. And then mcoachandm.com as well. My personal email is David, D-A-V-I-D dot C dot Cephus, C-E-P-H-U-S, at gmail.com. And, gotcha. You know. You know, if you reach out, I'll reach back.
There it is. All right, so for all of y'all that watched tonight, thank y'all so much, man. Definitely appreciate y'all. Appreciate the comments. Sharice, double salute to you. Sharice, she was on. I had her on a couple of weeks ago. She's an amazing baker, man, to the point where, like I said, the creation that she make it look like you're not supposed to eat it. It look like it's just supposed to be artwork and stuff like that. It's amazing the gifts that a lot of people have, right? And that has been the theme of the few shows that I've been on the last, you know, maybe 3 or 4 months. It's all been based on mindset and all been based on, you know, the push, right? Because the way to your purpose sometimes is not, it's there, but sometimes you got to push through other things in order for you to figure it out, right? Yeah. It's not just like the Vegas strip, you know, sometimes it's just a street light, right? So, again, thank you so much, bro, for jumping on. I appreciate it, man. Also, thank you for all the communication leading up to the show, because I know we booked a few weeks out. I like to make sure I let people know, because I try to stay in communication with people. I get booked and all that other stuff. And and again, man, thank you for all the work you're doing out here as a black man, especially being on the front line of social work. So many people going through so much stuff, and it's mostly trauma-based, right? To be in a foster system, that's trauma-based, you know, because you have to live with the fact that you feel like somebody didn't want you. The people who created you didn't want you. You have to think about that. No matter how much other things, you know, you have to deal with. So double salute to you, bro. I hope people who watch the playback and those that watched it live give you a shout out, give you a thumbs, give you a heart on your content if they ever run across it on Facebook or all the other social media platforms they are. If they want to refer you to other people, I hope they do the same thing. And just keep supporting you, bro, because we need more men like you. Hopefully you keep pushing content and stuff. As I see it on social media, I'm gonna keep sharing it and stuff like that, because we need this and our community is lacking this, right? And so, you know, I just hope that you continue to keep pushing through, bro. And again, thanks so much for jumping on, right?
I appreciate you, bro. Right. Thank you.
Always, bro. And to all of y'all that watch, man, definitely appreciate y'all, man. The people that come repeatedly every week, man, definitely appreciate y'all. All the people that jump in the comments, all the people that watch the playbacks, they share the shorts and the reels and stuff and all that stuff that I do based on the platform. Thank y'all so much, man. And I want y'all to join me again next week. All right, next week going to be different. I got a psychic on next week. And y'all know I've been having a lot of different spiritual beings on, you know, or people who do things in that realm. So we're going to figure this out. I've never talked to a real psychic before, or a person who considers themselves that. So it's going to be a great conversation. So I want y'all to join me next Tuesday, 8 o'clock sharp. Y'all know the vibe, man. And don't forget this part, because I'm going to say this every week, right? If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next week, y'all, peace.